Don't you love it when the scripture begins and Peter began to speak to them? And you kind of go, who? Who is Peter speaking to? I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to hold you in suspense this morning. This is in Acts chapter 10. If you go back and read the whole chapter, you're going to find that it has to do with a centurion by the name of Cornelius. He came from the Italian cohort. So we already know Cornelius was not a Jew. And Cornelius was a man of faith, a man of what the scriptures say. He was a devout man who feared God. And he had a visit by an angel who told him to seek out Peter. Well, about that same time, Peter also has a vision of being hungry and wishing to eat. And his table was spread with what he would have considered unclean food, because it didn't meet the standards for Jews to eat. It was different meats. But God says to him, this is, if I can find it really quick, he says, I can't get it that quick. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. And the voice said to him again, a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And this happened three times to Peter, and then the things were suddenly taken up to heaven. So when Peter awakes, here comes this messenger from Cornelius. And Peter understands through the gift of the vision and the messenger that maybe God's message of salvation isn't just for Jews. That this message of the unclean food and the messenger from someone who was a Gentile tells Peter that God intends God's message and salvation to everyone, regardless of who they are. So he goes to Cornelius' home, and there is where his conversation begins, when Peter began to speak to them. And what Peter first starts out with is he lets us know what God has taught him in the midst of this. Because he says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. I truly understand. Peter had come to an understanding of a change of direction for his faith. Peter had always understood that God sent Jesus Christ for the Jews, the Messiah. But now God has given him a new direction and a new people to serve, to witness to. So he has to deal with the change. And he does. Because he says, I truly understand. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So for Peter, those who are acceptable to God are acceptable to Peter. But he feels now his context and his words change, because he wants those he's speaking to know who Jesus Christ is. Because he goes on to tell us, you know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So now he's telling you and telling them that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now for us, we're not quite certain what that means all the time, because we're not in a feudal society anymore. I don't think we're in a feudal society anymore. But when you had a lord, you were the lord's servant. That lord commanded you. That lord pretty much owned you. You surrendered everything to the lord. And Jesus is lord of all. So Jesus is our lord. Jesus is their lord. Everything we do, everything we say, everything is subject to God and should be right and acceptable to God. Even those little decisions we make, not just the big ones. And then he says that message was spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. So now we get to the baptism that we've just heard about. That baptism where Jesus is there in the waters. Jesus, the one who had no sin, standing in the waters, being baptized for repentance of sin. But there in the midst of it, we see the Holy Spirit come and anoint Christ in God's words. This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased. So Peter goes on to share with this crowd that this is who Jesus is. He's not just a human being, he is God and empowered by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes on to explain to them a little more that what he did was he healed the sick and anyone oppressed by the devil. He raised the dead. He did good about the land. But this is the key, for God was with him. Christ could do the work that Christ did in the world because God was with him. But then Peter needs to authenticate this to the people he's speaking to, because he says to them, we are witnesses to all of this. We walked with him. We saw him hung on the cross. But God also raised him from the dead, and we saw this too. He ate with us after he was risen from the dead. And then Peter tells them what he is commanded and what we are commanded to do. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that anyone who believes and in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So basically, in these short verses, we hear what it takes to be saved, don't we? This is the salvation story. We hear that we need to see Jesus as our Lord. We need to believe that he lived, died, and rose from the dead so that we might have redemption. And we also need to go before him and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And that should we ask for forgiveness in his name, we will be redeemed. So in this short little conversation that Peter has with the people of Cornelius' household, he tells them how to be saved. But the other thing he does is he witnesses to that faith, witnesses to that story, to this community. So the way that we increase God's family, the way that we be part of this testimony, is we too need to be a witness. Can we speak to people about how God has come into our lives, transformed our lives, redeemed us, so that we can have life and have it eternal, so that we can share with others the message of salvation? Can we get a witness to what God has done in our lives? So as I prayed about who are the witnesses here and what is the witness of our life as followers of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ, I remembered a few Sundays ago in November, as we were getting ready to pledge to the church our tithe, our pledging for the next year, Natalie came forward and gave you a witness how being here in this place and just having something as simple as a yard sale welcomed her into the community, and through the community reconnected her to Jesus Christ, so that not only was Natalie, but her boys and her husband reconnected to the God who loves them and have made some professions of faith that we have been witness to here in this sanctuary. God can use us if we are in a right relationship with God. If we have been redeemed, if we remember our baptism and remember who it is who baptized us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the one wearing the robes, it was the one in heaven through whoever put water upon your forehead or placed you in the water, or however you were baptized. It is God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that baptized you. And I think of the witness that we make when we write letters and make phone calls and visit one another who are sick. I think of the witness that we make when we put together food, little packages for teachers in schools who are feeling overwhelmed. I think of the witness that we make when we package food for Stop Hunger Now. I think of the witness that we make when we fill up our Axe bucket. I think of the witness that we make when we choose to lead in the church. I think of the witness that we make even in our weekly moving into worship and Sunday school, is saying, God, I'm going to be in a relationship with you, and I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to start here in worship and now. The world will be saved. God promises that. But also God asks us to be witnesses to that promise, to be witnesses to the world that Christ not only was born in a manger, but was walking the earth as the Savior of the world, that the baptism was with the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, moving him forward into his ministry. It was that initiation moment when he began that work out into the world, and then that the world turned its back on him. But he still loved us enough to go to the cross and die for us. How many of us share the story of salvation with those who need to hear it? How many of us share it with a loaf of bread, a cup of soup, time serving? How many share what God has done for you through Jesus Christ? I remember sitting in an apartment in Havelock, North Carolina. I remember the path I had chosen for my future and my son's. And I remember the moment when I accepted Christ into my life. And a new path, a new journey, a healing and restoration of a marriage began. And this journey to where we are today began in earnest. And I know that God will never leave me or forsake me, whether the road is rough or the road is smooth. And I know that all I have to do is be faithful to the one who loves me, and to love back, and to love the world without judging the world, without showing partiality to this one or that one. God is a marvelous God and seeks us to be in that loving relationship, and earnestly desires that we share that message with the world. Prayer never has left school because God has never left school. Whether the children say the prayers or not, God is there. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to be in that relationship. We need to continue to be the witness that our initial baptism said we would be. We've added that into our baptismal vows in the United Methodist Church. That we give our tithes, our talents, time, treasure, talents, and our witness. The world will be changed. God asks us to be part of that change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to offer some words as we move into our baptismal renewal and leadership recognition by Jeff Schrouder. In 2014, he said this about the Matthew passage we just heard. The baptizer's wilderness call to repentance cast a wide net. By some accounts, all of Jerusalem turned out, and folk from all Judea. Matthew mentions none of these, but only a Galilean, Jesus by name. Mystifying to the baptizer who protested, but obliged. And later to the church, an embarrassment, a scandal. Why would one said to be born without sin need baptism for the forgiveness of sin? Why not? He was, after all, one of us.